Lord, speak your word, speak through your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for the salvation. We pray that we can be perfected in this. Yeah, open our hearts this morning and speak to us richly. Thank you for the epistle of Peter. It's an epistle for the goal. It's an epistle to reach the goal. But I really appreciate it in the epistle of Peter. That when you speak about the goal, that it's very high, but the letter of Peter shows the goal of the faith, the salvation of your soul. But on the other hand, he also shows the basics of the faith. If someone who reaches the goal, he didn't stop to practice the faith diligently every day. That leads to the goal. Not that we are lifted high up and that we're full of knowledge, but we reach the goal of our faith. That we are more and more practiced to keep all the basics and practice them of the basis of the faith. That is the way how we can move on and come to perfection. And this is the way that Peter shows us, and that's what I really appreciated. But let us, in the beginning, read the first few verses of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, verse 1 to 7. 1 Peter 1, 1 to 7. We can read it as sisters and brothers taking turns. Thank you, Lord, for the chosen ones. It's an epistle for us. Yeah, Paul, an apostle of Christ, for those who have been chosen. If he didn't elect us, then none of us would be here. But we all got a calling from the Lord. We all were called by the Lord and chosen so that we can be here. The Lord said earlier we were not a people. In Isaiah it says, the people that I made myself to praise my glory. At that time we weren't a people, but he called us that we can preach his glory and his honor. We have to see that he elected us, that he can show his glory in us, that he can reveal himself in us. And we are not chosen because we're something special. Who of us here this morning thinks is something special? Who thinks he's elected because he's something special, or because he brings something special, or because he has a certain heritage? That's not our basis why the Lord elected us. In Romans 9 it says, then because not all who are from Israel are out of Israel, are Israel. It's not a natural heritage. We don't have a certain behavior or ability in us. That's why we have been begotten by the Lord. Because the Lord elected us in in his mercy, in his greatness. We have to see where we come from. Where do we come from? The word says in Ephesians that we were dead in our sins and trespasses. We were sins of disobedience. And it talks about many things that we used to do. That we were idolaters. We had an evil heart and so many evil things that we walked in previously. We were sons of wrath, but he elected us. He didn't just elect us, but he wants to show his glory in us. And he wants to express his glory through us. That's what we have to understand today, that he called us for his glory, not because we are something by ourselves. And our election, you can't revoke it. He is not sorry that he called us. Today I choose something and tomorrow I'm sorry about my election. When the Lord chooses something, he doesn't regret it. But his election and his grace cannot, he is not sorry about. Yeah, his gift of mercy, he cannot regret. Isn't that a good thing? Is that not a good foundation that we stand on? Not out of works, not because we're better than anybody, not because we have a certain qualification or heritage, but because the Lord elected us. I don't know why the Lord elected me. For sure not because I'm good. My soul is corrupted through and through. My natural being is very corrupt. It's truly so. But still, I have been elected by the Lord. And the Lord wants to show his honor and his mercy in us. And he wants to be glorified in us. And that's what we really have to see. And that really shows that he chose us from the foundation of the world. It's not something we did or what we are. But he chose us from the foundation of the world. And this election we really have to appreciate. And that's why Peter says, the elect according to the foreknowledge from Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia. The election, is that everything? Are we at the goal with our election? Benno, have you arrived at the goal? Are you elected? Are you at the goal yet? No. Me too. I'm not at the goal. I have been elected, but I haven't reached a goal. And that's what we really have to see today. The Lord called us, and we've received his call. We followed his call. He chose us. But we still have way to go. Yeah, we're not at the goal yet. And that's why Paul wrote in verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. That is what comes after the election. That's what is now. Now comes sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. today we should sanctify ourselves for the Lord. And sanctification, we know, is to be separated. The first meaning of sanctification is that we are separated. Are we separated? I would say, yeah, we're kind of separated from the world. We're not living in the world. We don't do the things of the world. As the people of God, they were in Egypt, but the Lord separated them from the Egyptians. He got them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. They were separated out of the area of Pharaoh where Satan was ruling. And that is the first way of sanctification. The sanctification has several aspects, and the first aspect is that we separate from the evil things, that we are separated for God. But that doesn't mean we're at the goal. At the time they were in Egypt, they moved out through the Red Sea. And it was a journey. It was a separation. And that's what we have to see. The Lord wants to sanctify us by separating us from outwardly, from all evil things, from natural things, that we're not one with these things. But then we see here, in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience, the sanctification doesn't just contain the that we're separated, not just outwardly. It doesn't just mean I don't come close to something, but that's not everything. That's not everything, that I'm in Zion, that I come to the meetings, that I don't enjoy the world. But it says here for obedience. It says the Lord wants to do a work in our heart. I can be here, but I can be disobedient. But the Lord shows for the sanctification is the obedience necessary. And that's how we can see the people of God as an example. They moved out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and then they went into the desert. But then in the desert, he tested their obedience, he tested their hearts. He wanted to see how, that they further sanctify themselves, that they change their hearts, that they are transformed, that their nature is changed. And that's where we can see how the Lord wants to go on with us and wants to change us inwardly. And he wants to bring us to obedience. The Lord wants that his hearts are completely obedient. And for the sprinkling of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you to the Lord for his whole work in us. The blood of the Lord is very precious. Without the blood of the Lord, we can't go on. We are not through the blood of the Lord. Didn't we come to the Lord? Who of us would be chosen without the blood of the Lord? The Lord called us, but then we received his calling and we were born again through the blood of the Lord and we were cleansed from all our sins. And now the Lord has chosen us. But we shouldn't underestimate the Lord, the blood of the Lord, or not appreciate it. We need the cleansing of the sins, the cleansing of our conscience all the time. That's why Peter really emphasizes the blood of the Lord. When we say we have no sin, when you come to the point where you think you don't need the blood of the Lord, then you can keep going on. That's why he emphasizes the blood of the Lord here. Let us take the blood of the Lord and apply it richly and come to the light of the Lord. And yeah, really experience the blood deeply, and that we can be cleansed from our unrighteousness. In 1 John, we can read, if we walk by the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, of His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful that He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us apply this a lot, that we don't have hearts of stone, that our relationship to the Lord doesn't decrease, but it increases. And then we apply the blood richly. In the sanctification for obedience, it is good that the Lord has elected us and that we have been born again. That's the beginning, but not the goal. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That's a strong verse. The Lord chose us for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which He called you for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a way. It doesn't. It's a journey. It's not so fast. The Lord saved us. But there is a further salvation, a great salvation. And we can see in verse 10 in Peter that the prophets searched for this salvation. The Lord wants to save us to the uttermost. That we are transformed into His image, that our soul is saved fully. That's the election is not enough for this. It's the basis for it. And on this foundation, we must run the race and follow this way. The people of God in the past, they didn't go the way to the end. They didn't finish because they were disobedient. They didn't make it. And why did they not make it? Because Paul says, because they were weak through the flesh. But thank the Lord. The Lord chose us for salvation through the sanctification in the Spirit and the faith. We have such foundation today. Through the Spirit and faith, the Lord gave us such a foundation. He gave us Himself that we can reach this full salvation. The Lord doesn't want to elect a people again that doesn't make it. He elected us so that we can reach the goal of the faith. That's what we truly have to see today. It's not because of us that we've reached a goal. The basis of our salvation is not ourselves, and even also the salvation of our soul comes not because of us, but is through the Spirit and through the faith. It is the Lord Jesus himself. That's why we didn't read it in verse 10. They search for the salvation. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired. What kind of salvation was prepared? And praise the Lord that we this salvation has been revealed to us today, and we want to grasp this salvation. And what we have in our heart this morning, what we really need to have, is that we have to go on, and that the election is not enough, but we have to reach the goal. And this goal is through the sanctification and obedience and through the blood, through the Lord that has been given to us. And the Lord himself also went on this way. The Lord was the chosen one. This is my elected son. And the Lord was chosen. But how did he come to the goal? He had to be perfected. His election wasn't enough. It was good that he was elected, but it wasn't enough. The Lord had to be perfected in all his life. And we can read in Hebrews 5:8 about the Lord. Although he was the Son, he had to learn obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And here we can see the Lord, the Son had to learn obedience. And he had to be perfected. And what's with us? What about us? If the Lord had to learn obedience to be perfected, how much more how much more do I have to learn obedience? How much more do I have to be brought to perfection? And that's why we have this way ahead of us. That we learn to be obedient to the Lord, that we can be perfected today. And we can see the Lord said here, by the things which he suffered. It's not so easy all the time. Is it always wonderful that we're elected? Is the way to the goal always such a joy? How was it with the Lord? Here it says, by the things he suffered. It's connected with difficulties, with sufferings. And that's what we have to see today. And if we read the letter of Peter, it's full of sufferings. In different ways, Peter shows that we partake of the sufferings inwardly and outward persecution. But that's the mind we have to have today to come to perfection. It's a way that's connected to suffering. And this mind we should have. Yeah, the Lord had this mind. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. This inheritance we truly have to see. The Lord has prepared something wonderful for us. an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. Incorruptible. The world is so corruptible, it fades away. Everything that we touch is tomorrow or in a few months or a few years, nothing. We invest so much, but in the end, it is nothing. But the Lord has called us for an incorruptible, undefiled, and an inheritance that does not fade away. We need this inheritance in front of our eyes in Romans 8. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The Lord wants to reveal His glory in us. And that's what we need in front of our eyes. If we can't see what the Lord wants to give to us, and we don't want to let go of the things that we have today, that's why Peter shows us here that we have an incorruptible inheritance. Lord, write this inheritance on our heart. And Peter had a strong view of this inheritance that we should partake of. But we can only take part in this inheritance if we become mature. The Lord can only give us this earth if we are people who become mature, who have learned to be obedient. It needs a foundation for Him to give us the inheritance. Let us have this view that we become mature, and then we can go the way of sufferings. And because it is a way of suffering, we need the power of God, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's verse 5 in Peter. Let us experience the Lord as the power. It's not our own power, but it is the power of the Lord, the power of His resurrection that He has prepared for us, that we can partake today. Otherwise, we won't reach it. But through the power of God, we will be preserved, that it will be revealed in the last time. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have many examples. All the apostles, Peter and the Lord, they all went through sufferings and through trials. None of them had an easy way. John, who wrote the Revelation, he was on the island of Patmos and had to flee. That's why today we need this mind of Christ, that we are not so afraid of sufferings, that we don't give up so easily. If there are trials, we don't draw back right away. But that we, because of the joy and because of the inheritance and the glory that's before us, that we bear it, that we gain the Lord more in this, and that we seek Him and hold on to Him. That is so important, that we hold on. It is the magnitude of His power. through the effectiveness of his power. That's it's the power of the Lord that we need. Yeah, if we believe. Our faith has to be strengthened. It has to be tested. We all believe in the Lord. But how is it with my faith in my daily situations? When the sufferings come, when I'm someone offends me, if I have to deny my soul life, then my faith has to be shown. If I have outward persecution, if people lie about me, then my faith has to be made strong. If we have all the situations, when we come to the goal, the Lord is very close to us. He's very near. We don't run for uncertainty, but we run for the goal. And Paul says in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter 1, verse 10, before we were not a people, but now we are God's people. Oh, actually, I didn't want to read this verse. Peter says that we should make our election sure, of our call. Can you help me quickly? Let's read 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. What an encouragement. Yeah, the Lord called all of us. This election is not the end. But he says, be diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And we can see today there is something to make our election sure. It has to be made sure. In Revelation 17, we can see Revelation 17, verse 14, about those who come with the Lord down to the earth and will take over this world. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. The Lord has called all of us. And we were faithful to his calling, and we have been elected. And now we have to be faithful to the end. Now we have to be faithful to the choosing of the Lord. That's what he wants today. He has elected us, and he wants us to be faithful. He has chosen many people over the times, but not many people were faithful. The people of Israel were not faithful. They didn't make it. And when we see the history of the church the last 2,000 years, it's very, very few who are faithful. But today, we have to see he wants us to be faithful. Through the power and through the Spirit that we've received the Lord. That's such a burden in this meeting. We have been chosen, but we want to be faithful to the end through the Lord. Lord, bring us unto the goal. Thank you for the election, and we pray that we can make it to the goal. God's election is irrevocable. Is that okay with the loudspeaker? Aspect of the election of God. In Romans 9:11, you can see that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. So that it's not based on works, but on his calling. Abraham was called by God. It wasn't tied to any condition. The covenant that God did with Abraham, it was without a condition. He says to Abraham, go out of your country. That was what he had to do, to go out of the country. He had to be separated and sanctified. And then God promised, because he promised, I want to make you a great people. Was Abraham special? Did he deserve it? No. It was God's election. It was not based on works, but God just promised from his side. And that's why Abraham can lose the election, because on the basis of works. That's why his promise still works, because it wasn't based on works, the promise. That's why you can't lose on the basis of works. The physical people of Israel are still God's people, and he still has a goal with these people, and he will bring them to the goal, because it's his promise. And that's very important to see. And it's a very important meaning for us, because we've also been elected. That's also true. In Ephesians 1, it says, he chose us before the election of the world. We have been chosen by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not because of works, but it's because of the promise. It stands fast. I was wondering, and who is elected? The physical people of Israel? Jesus is elected? And the saints who believe through Jesus Christ? And the question is not so much who has been chosen, but who has elected? If God, the highest God, elected someone, that's really special. Amen. And the question is, for what did he elect us? And that's what we can see clearly in Peter. We have been chosen in the sanctification for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The election is for the sanctification. That's what we should give our bodies for. I give my body for you to sanctify. And we give ourselves in this way to the Lord through the Spirit, then the obedience comes. If we give ourselves to the Lord, the obedience will come. The obedience is not there automatically in the beginning. It says first sanctification and then obedience. We say, Lord, I want to live by you and give myself to you. And then he works more and more obedience in us. And that's his work in us. It is expressed that if we live by him, he changes our mind. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. grace to you and peace be multiplied. Without this grace and mercy of the Lord, we cannot make it. Grace and peace be multiplied. It's there richly. It doesn't decrease, but it is abundant and becomes more and more. And there's a lot of flow from the Lord that we can take out of his riches. Amen.